سورة الممتحنة. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. O you who believe, take not my enemies and your enemies as friends, showing affection towards them while they have disbelieved in what has come to you of the truth, and have driven out the messenger, and yourself because you believe in Allah your Lord. If you have come forth to strive in my cause and to seek my good pleasure, you show friendship to them in secret while I am all aware of what you conceal and what you reveal. And whosoever of you does that, then indeed he has gone far astray from the straight path. Now this ayat has a story behind it, that what happened was that after the Meccans violated the pact of Hudaybiyah, the Prophet ﷺ decided to march against Makkah. Now he kept this a great secret and very few of the companions were in the know. What happened was that this former slave woman came to Medina seeking help from the Prophet ﷺ, and she was a pagan despite which he helped her. And one of the companions called Hazrat Hatib gave her a letter addressed to the Meccan chief in which he had explained that the Muslims were going to come and march against Makkah, and he gave her some money for doing so. The woman had scarcely left Medina when revelation came and the Prophet ﷺ was apprised of what had happened. So he sent his companions after her. The woman reluctantly gave up the letter and they came by. Hazrat Hatib was called and asked, why did you do this? Now anyone else would have just had his head chopped off, as Hazrat Umar advocated, for treachery. But the Prophet ﷺ's justice was such, he said, no, he took part in Badr, and Allah has forgiven all those who took part in Badr. And he was asked, what is your story? And Hazrat Hatib wept and said, that I have children and I have weak family members living in Makkah, and no one else is there to help them. So I hope that if I were to help the Meccans, maybe they would have protected my family. And the Prophet ﷺ said, he has spoken the truth and he was forgiven and given another chance. Whereupon Hazrat Umar wept and sought Allah's forgiveness. Now in this surah we find Allah is warning us that we have to choose between Allah and our relatives if our relatives are enemies of Allah. And we should not befriend the non-Muslims and make them our close friends and confidants. Should they gain the upper hand over you, they would behave to you as enemies and stretch forth their hands and their tongues against you with evil, and they desire that you should disbelieve. لَن تَنْفَعَكُمْ أَرْحَامُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Neither your relatives nor your children will help you on the day of judgment. He will judge between you. Allah alone is Maliki Yawm al-Din, and Allah is the all-seer of what you do. But كَانَتْ لَكُمْ مُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ فِي إِبْرَاهِيمِ وَالَّذِينَ مَعْهُ. Indeed, there has been a beautiful example for you in Ibrahim alayhi salam and those with him when they said to their people, indeed we are free from you and whatever you worship besides Allah. We have rejected you and there has started between us and you hostility and hatred forever until you believe in Allah alone. Ibrahim alayhi salam, who gave up everything for Allah, his father wanted him to disobey Allah and disbelieve in Allah, he left his father. His clan wanted him to do that, he left his clan. The king wanted him to disbelieve in Allah, he left the king. And that's why Allah says of him, اتخذ الله إبراهيم خليلا. Allah chose Ibrahim as a friend. Accept the saying of Ibrahim to his father, indeed I will ask forgiveness from Allah for you, but I have no power to do anything for you before Allah. O our Lord, in you alone we put our trust, and to you we turn in repentance, and to you is our final return. And we learn that a Muslim is not allowed to do istighfar for those non-Muslim relatives of his who have passed away. Because the time to pray for them is while they are still alive. That's the time you try and bring them towards faith and guidance. And look at this beautiful dua. رَبَّنَا لَا تَجْعَلْنَا فِتْنَةً لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. O our Lord, do not make us a trial for the disbelievers. وَاغْفِرْ لَنَا. And forgive us, O our Lord. The mu'min never neglects istighfar. Never does he rely upon his good deeds complacently. Forgive us, O our Lord. Indeed, you, only you are the Almighty, the All-Wise. Indeed, there has been in them a beautiful example for you to follow. For those who look forward to Allah and the last day, and whoever turns away, then indeed Allah is self-sufficient, worthy of all praise. Allah does not need us or our ibadah. Perhaps Allah will make friendship between you and those whom you hold as enemies. And Allah has power, and Allah is all-forgiving, most merciful. Allah does not forbid you to deal justly and kindly with those who did not fight against you on account of religion, nor drove you out of your homes. Some people perceive Islam as a biased, intolerant religion. Yes, it's so unfair that you can't be close friends with non-Muslims. But look at the words of the ayat. Allah says that if someone has not opposed you, someone's not an active enemy of Islam, then Allah doesn't say that you have to boycott them or you can't meet them. We are allowed to interact with them socially. We are allowed even to meet them on a social footing and on a business footing. Because Allah says, indeed Allah loves those who are just. We find on one occasion, Hazrat Asma's mother, and who is a disbeliever, came to Medina and she asked the Prophet ﷺ, can I meet her? And he said, yes, and you should be good to her. What then is forbidden? It is only as regards those who fought against you on account of religion. When a loved one is opposing Islam, when a loved one is trying to stop you from obeying Allah, and have driven you out of your homes, and helped to drive you out, Allah forbids you to befriend them. Why? Because obviously they're open enemies of Islam. And whoever befriends them, then such are the wrongdoers. O you who believe, when believing women come to you as emigrants, examine them. Because then what happened was that women started coming for other purposes to deceive the Muslims. Examine them. Allah knows best as to their faith. Then if you ascertain that they are true believers, do not send them back to the disbelievers. They are not lawful for the disbelievers, nor are the disbelievers lawful for them. But give the disbelievers that amount of money which they have spent as their mehr to them. And there will be no sin on you to marry them if you have paid their mehr to them. Likewise, hold not the disbelieving women as wives and ask for the return of that which you have spent as mehr, and let the disbelievers ask that for which they have spent. Now we find here Allah's emphasis on a Muslim woman's right to receive mehr. That even in this situation, Allah says it's not enough that a woman comes to Medina and you help her out by marrying her and you don't think that you've conferred a great favor upon her. You have to grant her her right of mehr. This is the judgment of Allah. He judges between you, and Allah is all-knowing, all-wise. And if any of your wives have gone from you to the disbelievers and you asked them to return back your mehr, but they refused, then you went out for a military expedition against them and gained booty, then pay from that booty to those whose wives have gone, the equivalent of what they had spent on their mehr. Wattaqullah, and be conscious of Allah in whom you have iman. In other words, iman is that you fulfill the rights of those around you. Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when believing women come to you to give you the pledge that they will not associate anything in worship with Allah, that they will not steal, that they will not commit adultery, that they will not kill their children, that they will not utter slander, intentionally forging falsehood, and that they will not disobey you in all that Islam ordains, then accept their pledge. وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُنَّ اللَّهِ, and ask Allah to forgive them. Indeed Allah is all forgiving, most merciful. We can see how important Allah regards the education of women as regarding Islam. The Prophet ﷺ too had 6 days whereby he would be educating just the women about Islam. And we find that he was very concerned that Muslim women should rise above, you know, just the daily household chores and just serving their husband or just wasting their lives in gossip, etc. So that they should rise above themselves and serve Islam. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, take not as friends the people who incurred the wrath of Allah. Surely they have despaired of the hereafter, just as the disbelievers have despaired of those buried in the grave. Surah As-Saff. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Sabbaha lillahi ma fis samawat wa ma fil ard wa huwa al-azizul hakim. Whatever is in the heavens and whatever is on the earth glorifies Allah. And He is the Almighty, the All-Wise. Allah starts each surah with reminding us of how everything in the heavens and the earth is glorifying Him. And we can decide whether we wish to be of those who glorify Allah or we wish to be of those who forgot Allah. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who have iman, lima taquluna ma la taf'alun, why do you say that which you do not do? Kabura maqtan inda Allahi an taqulu ma la taf'alun, it is most hateful with Allah that you say that which you do not do. As we near the end of the Quran, it's as if Allah is addressing us personally, individually. O you who believe, O you who pretend to be Muslims, O you who say that we're serving Islam, that we're teaching Islam, why do you say that which you do not do? At the end of the day, it's not our words, it's our actions which count. And if someone is teaching Islam and not acting upon it, then that knowledge would be a hujjat against them. We find in a hadith the gist of which is that when the people will be in hell, they will see in their midst a man. And in one narration it says that his lips will be cut with scissors of fire And they will ask him, but you're the one who used to tell us. You used to tell us what was right. You used to stop us from what was wrong. And he will say sadly, with great anguish that I used to tell you, but I would not do it myself. And I used to forbid you from something, and I would do it myself. لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ Is that how easy you think it is? That, oh, I'll preach the Quran and that's it, that's my salvation? Why do you say that which you do not do? Once we've conveyed, then we have to act upon it. Now some people take this as an argument for not preaching Islam. That, oh no, no, if I teach, then I'll have to act upon it and then my hisab will be greater. But we don't understand is, we are already in this responsibility. Allah tells us, جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ We have made you the moderate ummah, so you can become witnesses upon mankind. Whether we like it or not, this responsibility already rests upon our shoulders. Now we can do two things. Either we can obey and fulfill this responsibility, seek to convey Allah's message, pray to Allah for guidance. Because one scholar said that when I become conscious of a fault in myself, I preach about it excessively. I talk about it so much that until Allah roots it out from me. And if you think about it, it's only when you teach the book of Allah that Allah gives you some strength wherewith to start obeying Him. And every time you teach a word of the Quran, you become conscious of all that you're neglecting, of all that you're leaving behind. And you become doubly aware that now I've told people I have to do it myself. After teaching Surah Noor, it was then that Allah gave me the strength to give up makeup when I go out before others without niqab, in hijab but without niqab. Before that, I wasn't able to do it. But after teaching Surah Noor, every time I would be going out, I would think to myself, how can I put on this lipstick when I have taught Surah Noor? لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ The answer is not that we don't teach anything at all and sit back and say, oh, my hisab will be less. No, the hisab will still be there. Because we are shuhada, whether we like it or not, whether we admit it or not. What then do we have to do? Become doubly aware of our faults. Lest we become hypocrites, preaching that which we do not practice. لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ Why do you say that which you do not do? The solution is not that you stop saying. The solution is that you start doing. You start acting upon your words. كَبُرَ مَقْتَنَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ It is most hateful with Allah that you say that which you do not do. Allah does not like hypocrisy. Allah doesn't need that we should go out and give beautiful lectures on Islam, go home and start our gossiping and our slandering and our backbiting. What does Allah love then? إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِهِ صَفَّى Indeed, Allah loves those who fight in His path, in rows, in ranks, as if they were a solid structure. Iman and jihad. Not just iman. Not just iman and talk, or iman and darses and lectures and that's it. Iman and jihad. That you prove what you say. Allah loves those who fight in His cause. In rows, in ranks. Not that we make a separate sect of our own. Well, I'm going to obey Allah like this. No, in ranks. With all the believers together. We all have to move together. As if they were a solid, impregnable structure. That nothing can defeat, nothing can penetrate, nothing can overcome. And Allah gives us an example. Remember when Musa said to his people, Oh my people, why do you annoy me when you know certainly that I am the messenger of Allah to you? So when they turned away, Allah turned their hearts away. And Allah does not guide the people who are disobedient to Allah. Again the word fasiqeen. Not about what you profess to believe in, what you're actually doing. And remember when Isa, the son of Maryam, said, O children of Israel, I am the messenger of Allah to you, confirming the Torah which came before me, and giving glad tidings of a messenger to come after me, whose name shall be Ahmad. But when he came to them with clear proofs, they said this is plain magic. And who does more wrong than the one who invents a lie against Allah, while he is being invited to Islam? And Allah does not guide the people who are wrongdoers. يُرِيدُونَ لِيُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ They wish to extinguish the light of Allah by their mouths. And think of all the propaganda against Islam, all the media articles, all the television programs, the documentaries in which they seek to prove Islam is a backward, oppressive religion. Allah reassures us, وَاللَّهُ مُتِمُّ نُورِهِ Allah will complete His light. He will bring His light to perfection even though the disbelievers hate it. It is He who has sent His messenger with guidance. Why don't we trust Allah? Why do we feel so intimidated by their propaganda? Remember, it was Allah who sent His messenger with guidance. and the religion of truth, liyuzhirahu ala ad-din kullihi, so he could make it victorious over all other religions, all other ways of life, even though the idolaters hate it. Allah says, if you're going to be intimidated by people, then you might as well give up. But trust in Allah, believe in Allah, and Allah will grant you victory. Ya ayyuhallazina amanu, O you who have iman, who have strength, who have conviction, who have certainty, who have yaqeen. Ya ayyuhallazina amanu, O you who have iman, hal adullukum, should I tell you, ala tijara, of a bargain, tunjikum min adhabin aleem, that will save you from a painful torment? Subhanallah. When someone tells you that, you know, the rupee is going to be devalued, or this and so financial disaster is going to take place, this is the only safe investment there is. What do you say? Even if you have 100 rupees, you say, well, put it in this. The surefire, profitable investment. What is this investment? What is this bargain? تؤمنون بالله ورسوله. You believe in Allah and you believe in His Messenger. Now this seems like a contradiction, doesn't it? Allah is addressing the believers. Or you who believe, and then Allah is saying, believe in Allah and His Messenger. In other words, that your iman is not just a title. I'm a born Muslim. My parents were Muslim, so I'm a Muslim. My parents said La ilaha illallah. They taught me that when I was a child, and so I've said La ilaha illallah all my life. Aminu. Iman is not just something that you profess. It's in the depths of your heart. At-taqwa ha-huna. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is where taqwa is felt. It's experienced. It's sensed. تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ, that you believe in Allah. You truly love Allah above all. You truly fear Allah above all. You truly obey Allah above all. وَرَسُولِهِ, and His Messenger. Not that you say, well, I'll read the Quran and forget the Sunnah. No. You truly love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and you keep him as your role model. Is that all? Well, that's easy. We all pretend we love Allah. Oh, I adore Allah. When I go to Milads, no. تُجَهِدُونَ. Prove your iman. Don't just talk. Do something. Do jihad. Where? Wherefore should we struggle? Jihad doesn't simply mean you get up and start brandishing a sword. No. تُجَهِدُونَ means you struggle. You make sacrifices. You experience fatigue. You experience misery sometimes. فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, in the path of Allah. For Allah's deen. Serve Islam in whichever way you can. If you have a skill for writing, then write about Islam after learning. If you have a skill for teaching, then teach others about Islam. If you can't find anyone else to teach, then teach your servants, teach your children. تُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Do it now, before it's too late. بِأَمْوَالِكُمْ. People protest, well, I have no knowledge. Well, what about your wealth? Give a sadaqah for Islam. If you don't have money to spare, then give someone a word of friendly advice for Allah's sake. Give someone a smile for Allah's sake. وَأَنفُسِكُمْ. It's not just about signing checks and having your picture come in the newspaper. Do jihad with your nafs. It's fajr time. You don't want to get up and pray. Force yourself out of bed. You've set the clock for tahajjud. It's so difficult. Sacrifice your sleep. Do that jihad for Allah's sake. You don't feel like speaking about Islam. You don't feel like teaching others about Islam. Do jihad with your time, with your knowledge, with your energies, with your talents. Anfusikum. Why? ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. And when you've done it, don't think you've conferred any favor upon Allah. ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. It's better for you. إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. If only you knew this. Why? What will happen? يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Allah will forgive your sins. He knows you're not angels. He will make mistakes. People say, oh, I'll teach Islam once I've purified myself. When will that day come? We're not going to wake up as angels. No. It's a constant lifelong process. يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. So Allah reassures us. Set forth in my path and I will overcome your shortcomings. وَيُدْخِلْكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ. He will admit you into gardens. تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ. Underneath which rivers flow. وَمَسَاكِنَ طَيِّبَةٌ. Beautiful homes. Beautiful mansions. فِي جَنَّاتِ عَدْنٍ. In gardens of eternity. They have magazines in which they have pictures of beautiful homes. The most beautiful house. The most luxurious house. The most artistic house. Allah says, strive to build a house in Jannah. What sort of houses are there in paradise? مَسَاكِنَ طَيِّبَةٌ. Pure houses. Beautiful houses. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said of Hazrat Khadija after she died, I saw her by a stream in a house made of pearls. Can we even imagine a house made of pearls? How beautiful, how exquisitely pure it would be. In a house made of pearls, wherein there is no fatigue, no noise. It's not just outer beauty. Sometimes you have people living in mansions and they have miserable lives. They're living lives of torture and mental agony. No. Wherein there is no fatigue or noise. ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. And that is the ultimate success. Not how many degrees you acquired. Not how many homes or how many villas you acquired. ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. That is the ultimate success. We find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us something. That this success of the hereafter, that's what we should focus on. If you look at the martyrs of Islam, what do we find? When they were being martyred, what were their feelings? Were they crying? Were they weeping that we're leaving this worldly life? No. Look at the companion who went with a group of other companions to teach Islam. They were betrayed, ambushed. The spear is penetrating his heart and he cries out in joy, Fustu wa Rabbil Kaaba. By the Lord of the Kaaba, I have succeeded. I have made it. Why? By worldly standards, this man is a failure. He couldn't even succeed in his mission. He's been betrayed, ambushed. He's losing his life. But what is he saying? Fustu, I have made it. I've done it. I've achieved it. Wa Rabbil Kaaba, by the Lord of the Kaaba. Then we look at another companion about to get married. And the Muslims on the brink of battle. So he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, should I wait? Should I postpone my marriage? And he said, no, you can join us in the morning. So he spends his night with his wife, and the wife has a dream in which he senses what's about to happen. So in the morning when he's going, she clings to him. He comforted her. And then he left her. And he rushed into battle and he was martyred. And during the battle, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was seen looking up at the sky. And when it was over and his widow came weeping, imagine, a young couple, just been married. What do we say? Oh, the poor thing, he died so young. And she comes to him weeping and says, he wasn't even pure, he hadn't even done ghusl. What does the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tell her? I saw the angels bathing him from trays of silver, from the heavens above. That man, by worldly standard, he's just had one wedding night and then he dies. What is he named? Ghasilul Malaika, the one bathed by the angels. ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. That is the ultimate success. That is the ultimate victory. وَأُخْرَى تُحِبُّونَهَا. It's not always martyrdom. It's not always death. And he will give you other things which you love. نَصْرٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَفَتْحٌ قَرِيبٌ. Help from Allah and a near victory. Islam is not just the name of martyrdom. It's the name of successes as well. وَبَشِّرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And give glad tidings to the mu'mineen. It's a win-win deal. No way of loss. If you are martyred, you've made it. If you gain victory, that's worldly blessings. Bashir al-Mu'mineen. Allah is teaching us a joyous perception of Islam. We who perceive Islam as an oppressive burden, oh, don't tell me if I know I have to act upon it. What is Allah saying? Bashir al-Mu'mineen. Don't frighten the believers. Don't intimidate them. Don't bore them. Bashir. Give them good tidings. We find when Amina Silmi, the American convert, was asked, how do you perceive yourself before and after Islam? Now before Islam, by worldly standards, she had everything. She had a house, a beautiful house, amazing amount of wealth, an adoring husband, two children, you name it, she had it. And after Islam, she lost everything. She lost the husband, the children were taken away from her, she lost the wealth, and what's more, after some time, she got cancer.